In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Oh, Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, we know exactly what we want. We want the story. We want the familiar words. We want the angels, and we want the shepherds. We want no room at the inn. We want the census and the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We want the familiar words. We want the cadences. These are the rhythms of our worship, the rhythms of our childhood, the rhythms of lifetimes spent in the church. We know what we want, and it is so familiar. That's what we want. But it's not what we need. What we need this night, this Christmas Eve, what we need is to be scandalized. We need to be scandalized. The incarnation is scandalous, and that is a theological term. It comes from the Greek word scandalon, which means stumbling block. And for many in the early church, the incarnation, the reality that God would become incarnate, that God would enter human life, that God would undergo a human birth, would grow up, would die, would be raised, this was a stumbling block. And it was one of the earliest heresies in the church. It was called Arianism, not spelled the way you're thinking. It was A-R-I-A-N-I-S-M, and it was named after a monk from Alexandria named Arius. Arius worshipped God with all his heart. He worshipped the transcendent God of the universe. And he could not believe that the transcendent God of the universe would stoop so low as to be born of a human woman. That God would do that. And even worse, would do it for the rest of us, human beings. That was a scandal. Arianism actually was a big problem in the early church. It very nearly took over the Roman Empire. If not for a few smart theologians, we might have been agreeing with Arius today. But we know the reality of the incarnation, the reality that God loves us so much. God loves us so much that God has become one of us. God has been willing to share all of the stuff that we face, all the crap that we face. God was willing to walk with us through that, to experience it personally, so that we would never, ever be alone again. We would never go any place where God has not been first. We would never face any situation, any sorrow, any challenge that God has not faced, that God will not walk with us through. It's not going to happen, and it is a scandal. It is a scandal. But we need to hang on to the scandal part of the strangeness of it all, the magnificence of it all. That's the scandal part we need to hang on to. Because when we hear the familiar words, when we hear the cadences, when we look at the creche, we had the children's pageant this afternoon. It was great. A little bit of sheep abuse there. One of the sheep got kind of beat up. But it was a poster board sign, but we still had head first onto the ground. We get so familiar with it. And we have nativity sets, and as kids, I still have the nativity set that my folks had when I was growing up, and I play with it still. We get so familiar that we rob the incarnation of its power, its transformative power. We rob it of its power, maybe because we're just too comfy. Maybe, well, part of it could be like the shepherds saw the angels and were terrified, which is a very logical reaction to seeing myriads and myriads of angels. We may be terrified as well, because I can't remember who said it. I've used it in sermons before, so I don't think it was me that said it the first time around. Pretty sure it wasn't. It's a lot easier to deal with a Messiah who will come than to deal with a Messiah who has come. Because a Messiah who has come is a reality and has expectations of us. A Messiah who will come, well, we can put that off. So maybe the terror of dealing with a Messiah who has come is one of the reasons that we kind of keep the incarnation at arm's distance. We keep it something we can play with and can control. But we rob it of its power to transform us if we do that. Because the incarnation is transformative. God transforms us in the incarnation because God makes our very lives holy. God makes our lives sacraments. Baltimore Catechism folks, Outline of the Faith folks, a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Our lives are made sacramental by the incarnation. Because Jesus became human, our human lives are now holy. We are now set apart for God's service because we are human and holy, and we are loved. We are loved. Now, this seemed like a good idea when I was thinking this over last night, but not too many of us here are wearing glasses, so it might fall kind of flat. But oh well. If you're wearing glasses, I'm going to ask you to do something a little unusual. Please take them off. I found, by the way, this is an excellent way to clean my house. Take off your glasses, the place looks great. Particularly good in the bathroom. Now, for those of you with 20/20 vision or contact lenses, please feel free either to maybe close your eyes. You can stay awake. It's not so late that you're going to fall asleep. Close your eyes, or maybe just let the focus go, because the incarnation must become the lens through which we see the world and through which we see each other. The incarnation must become the defining reality of our worldview. Because the reality of the incarnation, the reality that God loves us that much, that must be the way we look at the world, the way we look at each other. And that's where the transformation lies. Okay. If you have closed your eyes, please open them. If you let the focus go, please settle back in. If you took off your glasses, as I hope you did, please put them back on. And with that new clarity of vision, if we see the lenses of our glasses as the reality of God's love for us, and we look at everything through that lens, through that reality, there is clarity here like we've never seen before. And we are looking at each other with the eyes of God. We are seeing each other when we look through God's love. We are seeing each other as God sees us. And that must be the way we go forth into the world, because that is the only way this world is going to be saved. That's the only way it's going to be transformed, is through our grabbing hold of that scandal, the scandal of God's love. Not to stumble on it, but to carry it forward, to keep it in our minds, to not forget how outrageous this is, to not forget how outrageous God's love for us is. And so this night we can gather and hear the angels, hear the story, and that's terrific. But don't ever let go of the sense of scandal, the sense of outrage, the sense of surprise, a sense of joy that God loves you and me and all of us that much. Amen.